and welcome to Money and Change with Stu Scheer. I am Michael Bejas, the producer, and I'll tell you what, we are going to have a great night tonight. Stu is going to be with us in just a minute here. You come on over to Trim Radio Network where you can listen in, you can shop, you can buy merchandise, you can text us right off of our board, and we'll answer you right back. And if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, guess what? It's super easy to do. All you have to do is message us, and we'll show you how easy it is. Anyway, the opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information that we pass is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise. And that includes any medical, health, and professional information as well. And we expressly deny any and all liabilities resulting therefrom. And we have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. You could call in, give us your opinion. We just ask that you don't cuss, swear, or anything like that, because we like to maintain a good Christian-based radio station. And that song right there, well, that's Price Tag by Jesse J. And that's covered under our BMI music license, 6105-1658. And guys, without further ado, here is Stu, and we have fixed our sound problem. Stu, how are you?
Hey, I can hear you this time.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, when sound cards get bumped or they go out, that causes a problem, especially when we're on the internet. Well, anyhow, gang, welcome to Money and Change, and it is Sunday, June 18th. Can you believe it?
Father's Day.
Yeah, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. It's your day to shine.
Yep. Happy Father's Day from the Trim Radio Network to all you dads out there. And thank you to the veterans. All right, Stu,
that's right.
I'm going to let you go, my friend.
Well, you can let me go, and I'll see you in just about an hour.
All right, we're going to do our little test. Can you hear
me? Test, test,
test. Test, test,
test. Does the sound card work? I can't hear you, so it must be working. I don't know. Well, anyhow, gang, welcome to the Trim Radio Network and Money and Change. We had a little problem earlier in the week. Somehow you needed to be a lip reader to understand what I was saying because the sound card went out. And we tracked it down, and Michael had a problem. He got it fixed, and that's a good thing. But welcome to Trim Radio. You know, we've got all kinds of shows. We've got Fishing in Florida show. We've got Money and Chains. We've got Weekly Music Countdown, the Natural Marketer podcast. We've got the Take Point 22 radio show. We've got My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. We've got the Brighter Life show. We've got The Bend, better known as Adventure Waits Around the Bend, and the Spiritual Freedom Show. And we also have Rascala's Red Pill Reality Show. And boy, I'll tell you what. Rascala likes to do, well, do you want the red pill or do you want the blue pill? And I keep saying, hey, I want the green pill. And it really throws him for a loop. He doesn't know where the green pill is. Well, we talk about money. That's green enough for me. Well, anyhow, guys, welcome to Money and Change / Financially Prepped. You know, we are on Facebook. And it's free to join. And we also have a chat going right now. And you can join us on Facebook. I put up some articles today. The Texas grid faces first big test as record power demand imminent on triple-digit temperature threat. And having been in Texas in July, when it was about 102, and I think the humidity was like 99.99%, but it wasn't raining yet, I've been there. And I'll tell you what, it gets hot down there. Trust me. And unless you're in Galveston with the good breeze on you out of the Gulf of Mexico with that smell of oil, you don't stay cool. Maybe up in the mountains, if you can get there. But I'll tell you what, Texas is facing a grid situation, and it's going to be nasty. Well, you know, if you take a look at some of the stuff with what I've been doing lately, I've been posting some of Phil's at Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks, some of the pictures of some of his pens, and I will continue to do that. Phil does a lot of custom pens out there, and I thought, well, I get the pictures, I'll put them up there, and I'll tell you what, he does an excellent job. But, you know, before we get going on the show, we always have to do another disclaimer. And the information contained in this presented material is from the posting of news agencies on the internet and are not necessarily the views or opinions of the owners of this program. Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. You should always do your own research and consult with professionals. We are not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. And like I say, we've always done shout outs, and a big shout out to the Trim Radio Network for carrying the show. We've been doing this for several years, and Michael Bejas and I get along quite well. And we just have fun before the show, and we have fun after the show, but it gets serious on some of the stuff that we cover during the show. And we will do that. But a big shout out to the Trim Radio Network for carrying the show. Also a big shout out to the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. It's a very good NCAA Division II school, fantastic programs, degrees. They have bachelor degrees, master's degrees, doctoral degrees. They're very, very good. I was looking at a list of the people that have graduated this year, and they listed all of the places they were from. They had one student graduated. They were from China. A couple of them were from Africa. A couple of them were from Germany. That was amazing to see two German students listed. And it amazes me. People from all different countries are there represented and going to school. A lot of people are from Ohio. I have to admit that. Some of them are local. Some of them are not. Some are from Cleveland, some are from Cincinnati, some are from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and Indiana, Michigan, and so forth. But it's a great campus, great facilities, great professors, a really decent price. You have to check them out because they do offer scholarships. So you want to check that out. University of Findlay, www.findlay.edu. Also, check out Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks. They're on Facebook. And Phil over at Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks does an excellent job. Michael and I will both attest that when you get the pens that are custom made for you or your organization, they are perfect. They are fantastic. And they're basically on a cross pen platform, but they are excellent. And the one that I just put up there was a new pen with a neat way that it operates. And he has it on the rattlesnake stand. He has several different stands that he likes to pose his pictures on with his pens. But if you have a college, university, school system, business, corporation, whatever, get a hold of Phil at Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks. That's RUSTYDUK'S Custom Pens and Blanks. You'll be glad you did. Well, going on, we've got Money and Change, of course, tonight at 7 o'clock, and it's every Sunday night. And barring issues with equipment, we are live. We always like to be live. We've been doing this for years. It's nice to be live, especially on Money and Change. Hey, My World, Life, Laugh, and Whatever, every Wednesday at 8 p.m. You got to check us out. The Big Family Homestead with Brad and Krista. You have to check them out on YouTube. Fantastic people. I've known them for a long time. They're great people. And they tell it like it is. They don't sugarcoat anything. Also, we've got the Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King. And Danny likes to do porch time. And when he does porch time, he talks about a lot of different topics. He even does a little bit of politics on the side, but he's a pretty decent person. Down to earth. Then we have Southern Prepper One with Dave Kobler. And he's down in South Carolina. Excellent guy. I've known him for many years. And whether or not you want to learn how to prep or do different things, Dave is the one to listen to. And he usually does a couple different shows a week. He does one right now called Boots on the Ground. And people send him information from all over the United States, even up in Canada, and they talk about what's going on in the markets and as far as business and supplies and supply and demand and the lack of produce or whatever it would be. And Dave does an excellent job. Southern Prepper One with Dave Kobler. Check him out. Prepper Nurse One with Ed Carswell. He's building his little compound, we'll say, his little farm down in West Virginia. And he's got a developing location. And I mean, he's been working hard on it for probably 9 months and doing an excellent job. And he's working on a pavilion now for people that like to come and hang out with his group of people. Then we've got Canadian Prepper, which is Nate. He's the doom and gloom guy. And I always tell people, well, you take Nate with a grain of salt. He's a Canadian, nice guy. And he puts up a lot of information. You have to kind of read between the lines on what's going on. Speaking of Canadians, I have a source up in New Brunswick. And Lynn sent me some information this week that I'm still trying to digest and go through. You think you have problems here in the States, they have more up in Canada. And so, you know, we talk frequently. And most of it's chat, but sometimes we get to actually talk. But things aren't rosy in Canada. Things aren't rosy here. And we just have to take a day at a time, step at a time. But that's Canadian Prepper. And you can follow all those guys on YouTube. And I wouldn't be recommending people unless they were decent people that gave good, honest content. Another one is Goshen Prepping with Eric. And Eric is really good. He is a retired doctor and very knowledgeable on everything. And he was talking this last week and different things about what happens if the supply lines go down, what happens if we end up with some type of radiation. Different things you can do, and he's good. He's very factual. He knows his information, so you want to check him out at Goshen Prepping. Wow, what's been going on this week? A lot of stuff. Besides our sound going out earlier in the week, and here I am talking on My World, and if you are a lip reader, you would understand about artificial intelligence. Because I talked a good bit on artificial intelligence. And it has possibilities of doing things. But what it does with the financial world, it speeds things up. It's a set process. So if you have a piece of equipment and you program it to operate a certain way, it does that. It doesn't variate from one point to another. It does what it's told to do. Now, if you tell it wrong, then you have a real problem because it will do what you told it to do. And it really doesn't think beyond that. So if a bank is transferring money between that bank and another different bank, they could be using AI for that. Normally they use the SWIFT system. And now that we have the BRICS countries coming in, BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and there are others, they're going to come up with their own money transfer system and maybe base it on the Chinese yuan. Or it could be based on gold and silver. We'll just have to wait and see how that comes out. Also, I've been picking up some information really the last 2 weeks in that they are proposing, you know, to go to the Fed coin or the Fed now. And that's the transfer, the electronic transfer between different bank entities. It's all electronic transfer. And it sounds really good on the surface. However, if the government doesn't like the way you're doing things, it will cancel. And it, well, it has the capability of canceling your money transfers. Do you really want that? I don't know. Is it going to be helpful? Maybe. If you can keep politicians from messing with it, and that's the key part. But that's the deal. And they're saying that, okay, as of July, we are going to switch to FedNow, which means we could have digital money, whether we like it or not. And that can create a problem. For example, let's just say you had $50,000 in the bank. And they switch this over to FedNow, and it shows that you now have $50,000 in credits at the bank. And you can spend those credits any way you want. But if the government doesn't like you buying a lot of gummy bears, and you can probably imagine what those gummy bears are, they could say, oh no, you can't spend it for that. So we're going to leave your $50,000 in your account, your electronic account, but you can't spend it on gummy bears anymore. You can't even do Swedish fish. Have you ever had Swedish fish? Nasty taste. I don't even like gummy bears. And then there's the special gummy bears. And you got to watch out for those. But digital money. And they're saying, from what I've heard, is that we start in the States as of July. That's only a few weeks away. But nothing really gets turned over in our system until October. And as of October, the U.S. is the last to convert to digital money, according to some sources, in the world. We're the last economy to switch. Are we going to have a crash in October? Are we going to have problems with the banking system? Are the politicians going to mess things up? Well, if I were you, and I can only suggest things to you, pay down your debt. Put some money aside. Buy some long-term food. Be able to store water and purify water. Make sure you have your medications. Make sure that you have the proper clothing for the season you're going into. Do you have enough batteries? Do you have enough lights? There's a lot to consider. And if you haven't been preparing for the last 5 years or so, I've been talking about this stuff for 10 years. If you haven't been preparing and watching how you spend your money and how you prepare, you're going to be, as we say here in the Midwest, in a world of hurt. You're going to be in trouble. And that's a difficult pill to swallow. When you go to Kroger's or Wally World, as we like to call it here in the Midwest, Walmart, and you go and you see the shelves in sections are almost bare, and they're running out of different things, and you go to get your medications, and oh, they're not in today, come back tomorrow, and you come back tomorrow, oh, sorry, they won't be until next week. It's time to take notice that you need to prepare. You can expend money on expensive stuff like freeze-dried vegetables, freeze-dried meats, things like that, freeze-dried eggs, cheese powder, but that's expensive. And here you have your grocery stores at hand. You can get your canned goods there. And you say, well, geez, Stu, I don't have that much money. Well, if you want to prep an extra $5 a week, and you can buy a lot on that, you can go down to the Dollar Tree or the Dollar General or whatever, and you can get canned food there. And some of it's very good. And, you know, like everything's a dollar. Well, the can's a dollar. And according to Eric, on Goshen Prepping, canned goods, as long as they're not bulging or they're not dented, will last quite a long time. Maybe the nutrient value may go down, but you still have food. And in a situation with the grid down, you're going to need food. You're going to need probably propane, charcoal, or whatever to heat it. And so you have to prep. And you could do it $5 a week. And if you know how to stretch food, you can do a very good job on it. You don't have to live above your means. In other words, oh, I want to use Netflix. I want to go here. I want to do that. I want to eat out every night at some restaurant. You eat out a little bit less. You spend less money. You live beneath your means. So let's say you make $30,000 a year. And any time now, $30,000 is tough. But you live like you're living on $20,000 or $25,000. You take that extra $5,000 and prepare in food. Hey, remember the toilet paper shortage? Think about it. What are you going to do if we have a depression or a recession and toilet paper is a scarce item? You'll be using leaves. The old Sears and Roebuck catalog, if you know what I mean. A lot of different things come into play when the economy goes south and it gets worse. Have you noticed inflation? It costs more to go out and eat. Like today, I went for lunch at a restaurant that I go to a couple times a week. They had brand new menus and brand new prices. Everything got more expensive. You start to wonder, can I survive coming into this restaurant two and three times a week, or maybe once a week? And can those waitresses and waiters and cooks survive on what they make at this restaurant? Well, to their good fortune, this place is packed for breakfast and lunch. They don't do dinners. They are quite busy. And you really have to hustle. And that's the Lighthouse Restaurant. And that's located in a small town called Piqua, Ohio. And they have about 22,000 people living there. They have a state college, a fairly good educational system. Some really nice parks. Beautiful cemetery and arboretum. Bike paths. I mean, it's a great place. But can those waitresses and waiters and so forth survive on that business? Do you tip them enough? Business is going to get tough. Banks are noticing it. I was looking at bankrate.com and a few other places. Some of the banks that I have done business with in the past were rated B+. And I think that was the Weiss Research Group, W-E-I-S-S Research Group. And savings and loans were rated B+. Large regional banks were rated B+. But credit unions, specifically, there were two of them that were A+. And that was rated by that group. And I'm checking those to see, do I leave my hard-earned money that I don't have much of, do I leave it in this one bank that's a B+, or do I move it to the A+? Things to think about. And gee, does Weiss do a very good job as far as rating the banks? Basically, go to bankrate.com and check that out. Well, hey, let's get to the news here real quick. The U.S. national debt hits all-time high of $32 trillion. That's a lot. And it was authored by Mimi Nguyen. Nguyen and Lee, last name was Lee, L-Y, and that was at the Epoch Times, and she said the U.S. national debt has surpassed $32 trillion for the first time in U.S. history, according to the data released by the Treasury Department on June 17th. And the national debt as of June 16th, is at an all-time high of $32.04 trillion, according to the Treasury's daily statement. And this represents about $25 trillion in debt held by the public and about $7 trillion in intergovernmental debt. Gee, we didn't have that 5 years ago. I think we were only something like about between $3 trillion and $7 trillion in debt. And now we're $32 trillion in debt and climbing. How did we get there? It's only my opinion, but you check it out. I believe the federal government has just gone on one heck of a spending spree for the last 3 years. They're spending tax money and money that we don't have, and that debt's going to get passed down to your children and your grandchildren and your grandchildren's children. That's tough. You know, if we did something like that here in America with just common citizens overspending like that, we would be in jail. But yet the government can keep writing checks and writing checks and writing checks. They don't care. And now we're $32 trillion in debt. Something's wrong with this picture page. There was another article that came out, and this was by Zero Hedge, Tyler Durden, which Tyler Durden is really a series of writers. They just go under that moniker, that surname. Anyhow, it's CEO talk of shrink hits record on earnings, calls amid nationwide shoplifting crisis. Well, all the shoplifting that's going on by underprivileged, privileged, whatever, people that like to wear hoodies and masks, going into stores and looting and ransacking and not having anything done, that hurts the business's bottom line. And you take a look at what's going on out in California and Los Angeles and San Diego and other places. They're having shrinkage, which means theft. And that's happening out west. It's happening on the East Coast. If you take a look at the red states and blue states, most of the shrinkage is in the blue states. And you know what I'm talking about. We had riots in Chicago. And we had a lot of looting up there. We had a lot of riots and stuff out on the West Coast. We had others in New York. It's scary. And that's shrinkage. And what happens if the businesses take too much shrinkage or they have too much, they want to close their stores because they haven't hit their profit line. And so they go ahead and say, well, we've got too much crime going on. We're going to close the stores down. And those are some of the big name stores. Also, you have Walmarts in Chicago are closing in select locations because of problems. And they're not doing anything about it. The cops aren't doing anything about it. Store security can't do anything about it. Gee, whatever happened to morals? Whatever happened to following the law that's out there? Is somebody paying these people to go in and ransack a store and then resell the items that they've taken? I don't know. What do you think? Shrinkage, and that's happening. There was a week ago, David Johnson, Vice President of Asset Protection and Retail Operation for the National Retail Federation, or the NRF, told Fox Business that retailers are expected to lose a whopping $100 billion this year due to surging theft. $100 billion. They're supposed to write it off. Walmart US President and CEO John Furner, that's Furner, said theft crisis has been really challenging for the entire industry. Even Dollar Tree warned about increasing theft at its stores. And the result of out of control theft, burning holes in retailers' balance sheet, has forced the company execs to shutter stores, primarily in San Francisco, Portland, Chicago, and others. That's got to stop. It's not right. How would you like it if you had a business and somebody just walks in, trashes the business, walks out with a whole bunch of stuff, and leaves? As if I can do anything I want. You can't touch me. The cops won't touch me. and I'm walking out with 30 bags of cigarettes, a whole bunch of beer, or I'm walking out with real expensive clothing. Theft is theft, and you can only take so much shrinkage in a business, and then you close. And then they complain about, gee, we don't have a Walmart in Chicago, or we don't have a Saks Fifth Avenue or whatever. You know, if you're not going to be nice and play by the rules, then we're going to take our ball and go home. And so they close up their businesses. They take a big hit in the bottom line, as they say on spreadsheets. It took a loss in business. Hey, there was another thing, and I didn't know this because I'm not a coffee drinker. But Robusta coffee prices soar to new record as El Nino sparks supply fears. And that kind of bothered me in a way. I don't know what Robusta coffee is unless it's really black coffee. But the article said Vietnam and Indonesia, some of the top producing coffee countries, are experiencing extreme weather that could worsen the shortage of Robusta beans. And this has been pushed, this Robusta coffee has been pushed and the prices to a high making, and it's more expensive for buyers. I'm not a coffee drinker. I can't do it. I'm allergic to coffee. I really am. It's not the caffeine. It's the bean. I can't touch it. I always thought the coffee came from Juan Valdez in Costa Rica or Ecuador or someplace like that. I always remember the guy riding the camel up the side of the hill and he's out picking beans. Or whatever coffee it was. Well, I guess now they have it in Indonesia too. That's okay. But the cost is going to go up. Weather plays a big, important thing with anything that's grown. You know, here in Ohio, we planted corn, and what happened? We didn't have rain for several weeks, and the corn was not coming up. And then all of a sudden, we were lucky this last week. We had basically 2 and 3 inches of rain in different places. Everybody else averaged down about 1.5 inches in our location, and the stuff is beginning to grow again. Now, Monday, we're supposed to get more rain. Tuesday, more rain. And maybe towards the end of the week, we don't know. But that's going to help grow the crops. Have you had to water your lawn yet? Well, we were in almost drought conditions, and I'm waiting for my water bill to come in next month to see how much my water bill is going to be, because I had to water quite a bit. The lawn was browning out. My plants were struggling. And even though we may get rain tonight, I may have to do some watering to keep things going. And so that cost is going to go up. Everything's getting more expensive. You buy your medications, those prices are going up. You've got problems with food, and those prices are going up. And it starts at one end and goes to the other. And we're going to have problems with wheat because of the weather. We're going to have problems with corn because of the weather. We're going to have problems with other fruits and vegetables because of either the intense heat or too much rain. Danny Wanda King talk about that a lot on Deep South Homestead. You have to check them out. They're down in Wiggins, Mississippi. I'm probably about 300 miles off. Great people. Trust me. Really good people. They also have a website that's freesteading is what they call it. and people can join that for free and communicate back and forth. It's a decent thing. There was a thing by Michael Snyder at the end of the American Dream website, and he said drug and food shortages are here and they will get a lot worse. This is why I keep telling people to prep. If you're not prepping something every week or at the end of the month, if you've saved your money, you better start. You know, $5 a week, that's all it's going to take. By the end of the month, you've got $20 to buy extra cans of food. And if you go to the dollar store, that's 20 extra cans, or if it's $1.25 now for everything, then it's maybe $19 worth of food. 19 cans of food. Or it might be pasta. Now this week myself, I'm going to load up on pasta and pasta sauce. I've already got sweet basil growing, and so I'll have a nice crop of that. But, you know, when things get tough, pasta works. The Italians live on pasta, and so can we. There are a lot of recipes you can use pasta in. You can make pasta salads. You can make a full meal out of pasta. But what I'm going to be doing is, hey, I'm going to be prepping this next week. I'm going to get some pasta. And if I get a chance to go to Sam's Club, I will drive down there and I will get rice. And if I get a chance to get beans, I will get beans. Why? Because you can live on beans and rice. If you have good seasonings to go with it, there's nothing like Frank's hot sauce. I know somebody that goes to a restaurant in a small town about 10 miles from here, and he gets a bowl of chili, and he just takes this big bottle of hot sauce and just puts it in there. And just, I mean, when I look at it, I'm thinking, man, he just used an eighth of a gigantic bottle of hot sauce. Frank's hot sauce, I love it. It's good. It's what helps make Skyline chili taste good. If you ever have the chance to have Skyline chili, it's an acquired taste. And having worked in Cincinnati for probably 10 years, you needed something Skyline chili. They had 31 spices in it, but they didn't have Frank's hot sauce. But prep. You have to prep. Like we talked about at the beginning of the show, the Texas grid faces the first big test as record power demand is imminent on triple-digit temperatures. And the article said, extreme temperatures in Texas will push the mercury into the triple digit territory for much of the state through the next midweek. And the first heat wave of the summer season is expected to send power demand to record levels as homes and businesses crank up their air conditioners. And the Electricity Reliability Council of Texas, or ERCOT, which operates the state's grid with 26 million customers, or about 90% of the state's power load, forecasted peak demand could reach 82,275 megawatts by Wednesday, the first day of summer, and the current record of 80,148 megawatts was set last July. And so you have a heat wave. Now, the article goes on to say the heat wave brings up two important questions. First, can ERCOT provide enough power to handle the record demand? And second, will volatility emerge in the wholesale power markets? Well, you know, I have a classmate of mine that lives in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And when the power went out in the wintertime, they were lucky compared to a lot of people because they had a portable generator and they could use that to supply power for refrigerators and stoves, lights, radios, things like that. And they can do that. And they didn't have a problem. It cost them a lot in gasoline, but still they had power when nobody else did. And they were able to actually keep warm while a lot of people were literally freezing. And down in Texas, they don't have too much insulation. I used to go to Houston, Texas at least twice a year. And I want to tell you something. Late fall, it's okay. You're still putting up with 85 degree temperatures. But if you go in early to mid-summer down there, it is so hot and so humid. Life is nasty. And if the air conditioning goes out, you're in trouble. Case in point today, a friend of my sister's live in Georgia. And she had a problem, her air conditioner, and she just moved to this place, I don't know, 6 months ago. And the air conditioner, which is a whole house air conditioner, just went out. Now you can imagine what the temperature would be in Georgia. Right now here in Ohio, as I look at my chart, it's 81 degrees here. And more than likely down in Georgia, I believe it's north of Atlanta, you're probably looking at 88 degrees, no air circulation because your AC is out. And hopefully she has enough power to turn on fans to keep the air moving because it gets pretty nasty down there. The only place it doesn't get nasty is if you're by the Gulf of Mexico or the Atlantic Ocean. But I hope that the power grid in Texas doesn't go down. And people will say, well, Stu, are you prepared for power going down? Yes, I have Geniverse solar batteries, solar panels that I can plug in. And of course, that'll take a day to charge them all up, but I can run different things on those. And I've got a portable generator that I can turn on and get 7,000 peak watts for the house. But it takes gasoline. It also takes propane, so I can go either way with that. But in an emergency, I'm covered. How about heat? Well, I've got a propane heater if I need to use it. I need to get a hookup for my HVAC system so I can run the diesel generator or the gasoline generator hooked up to the system to actually make the main furnace run. I don't know how many thousand that's going to cost me, but it will probably be worth it in the end as long as I can get gasoline. Hey, there was an article, WRAL Tech Wire, and Kathy Rothman wrote it. And she said, broke generation, colon, 64% of Gen Xers have stopped saving for retirement. 64% of the Gen Xers have stopped saving for retirement because they're probably not making enough. And the report went on to say, and it was a clever real estate polled 1,000 Gen Xers born between 1965 and 1980 to find out how they fare when it comes to personal finances and the road to retirement. And a staggering 56% of the Gen Xers said they have less than $100,000 saved for retirement, and 22% said they have yet to save a single cent. Well, when you're starting out, you've just graduated from college or tech school or whatever, and you're out making money, you're not making that much and you have to survive. And you might work extra jobs, and some people just don't put the money away. I know that was my problem for several years. And later on, I did. But I think that was when I was probably 35, 40 years old. Because I wasn't making that much. And then finally, as time progressed, yeah, I did make some money. And I did put some savings back. And so I can live off the interest. And that's a good thing. But a lot of people starting out, I can see why they're not saving money. The cost of living's up. The cost of buying a new car. These electric cars, if you run out of juice, we'll call it, how are you going to charge the car up? You're probably only going to get 200 miles on the car. Then you're going to have to stop. You're going to have to wait 6 to 8 hours to charge it back up to go another 200 miles. I saw an article on Twitter that they showed hundreds of electric cars in China just parked in some field because they couldn't work. And yet, what are we doing? We're pushing electric cars and trucks. I can see hybrid, little gasoline, little electric. I could see that, but I can't see all electric, especially if you get an EMP and it fries your electric vehicle. A lot of things to consider, but you have to start saving some money, and it doesn't take much. It just takes discipline, and you take your check every 2 weeks or every week or once a month. And you divide it up. I have to pay so much for housing. I have to pay so much for gas and electric. I have to pay for transportation. When I get done with that, then what do I have left for food? What do I have for any entertainment? You know, an entertainment for me is either cable TV, the internet, or a Fire Stick. And that helps. But basically, I'm in a computer and I'm retired. And I'm on the computer for at least 6 hours a day. Why? Because I'm trying to find out what's going on in the world of finance so that when we do the show, we have information that we can pass on to everybody that will help them hopefully save money. And the big key is living beneath your means. If you pull in, let's say your check comes in at the end of the year is $50,000, live like it's 30. Take that extra 20,000 and say, okay, I'm going to prep and I need to buy a generator. Okay, well, that's like 4,000 bucks. I need to do this, that, and the other. And you have this money all programmed out. You live beneath your means and you chart where you're going to be in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years, and how much money you're going to put back. And also how much interest you're going to make on the money that you save. And that's what you have to do. And it's tough. It's not easy. I'm going to tell you that now. But I'm in retirement. And I can do different things if I want. But I still don't go out and spend a lot of money. I won't take a vacation this year. And if I do, it's going to be just a short vacation for a couple of days. I'm not going to spend money lavishly. I'm not going to go to Florida like I did every year for 20 years. I'll be doing something locally. I won't be flying as much. Matter of fact, I probably won't be flying at all. But it's time to start living frugally. And I think Michael will be able to tell you that. And I hope he's come back on the air.
I have.
Hiding in the difference. And you understand, Michael, when I say you have to save money, it's time for people to buckle down.
Because it's important. I think that everybody needs to save and to prepare and put themselves in a better financial. Listen, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of people with a lot of credit card debt. As a matter of fact, more Americans today have more credit card debt. You know what? There's company, Freedom Relief, American Freedom Relief and stuff like that. Call these people. Yes, you will take a ding on your credit for 4 months or so, but they will negotiate with the companies. There are law firms, and they hire these law firms, and they negotiate with the company to cut that debt almost in half, or to get rid of the interest, or to do whatever it is, and you deposit money into an account, and what they do is they settle those accounts. And that will get you out of trouble. And credit card debt is unsecured debt. There's a big difference. Don't refinance your home to a higher mortgage rate to get rid of unsecured debt. You're better off going the other way around. Keep your interest rate low. And it can make a big difference because they can negotiate on a lot of different types of debt. And there are free grants out there on a lot of different things. Do that
hey,
also.
You know what? You know what I did last week? I didn't really advertise that I did it, but I had a credit card. I cut it up. I sent the company a nice letter saying, I no longer want your credit card. I will notify anybody that uses that card that I'm no longer using it, and I will be finding an alternative way to finance it, because I'm not paying 29% on a late fee for a purchase online.
No, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And
that's right.
You know, I had an Amazon card and I told them I wanted to close the account and I'll make monthly payments to pay down the debt. Closed the account, paid down the debt. It took me a year, but I paid it off and done. And then I called them up and I said, okay, now that my obligation is paid in full, and they understood things were tough, especially during COVID and everything else. So they did it at 0% interest and just said, pay us in full, pay the debt. And I was able to do that. I made monthly payments to do that and I got rid of it, you know? And then you're always going to find the one credit card company that doesn't want to do that. That's why you get these credit relief people that can go in there and help you negotiate it. Believe me, they know the laws. They know everything. So they can help you to chop it in half. And yeah, you might have to pay at the end of the year taxes on the amount that they chopped in half, but you're better off doing that then you are paying 29% interest or 28% interest, whatever they're going to charge you. And, you know, a lot of people are switching. Okay, we'll give you have $3,000 in debt. We'll give you a credit card at 0% interest. Pay it off within 2 years. Well, then use that. Pay it off within 2 years because you're just paying the principal. You know, use that. If you have to jump one to another in order to pay that off, you're better off doing that. There's just a lot of different ways to do.
I think I used to pay the principal, but he never did change my grades. I don't know what the deal was on that. But hey, Michael, you know, we got to get out of here because we've got other shows coming on instead of Money and Change.
That's okay.
So that's all I've got That's all I've got this week for Money and Change. We will see you on Wednesday at 8 p.m. with Live, Laugh, and Whatever, My World. And then again, the following Sunday for Money and Change. So have a good week, guys. Save your money, buy responsibly, and watch the markets. And we'll talk to you next week.
Take care, Stu. And with that, because we're running a little over, we're not even going to play our theme song. We are just going to go ahead and sign out. God bless. Take care. And we will talk to you all later. Bye, folks.
Happy Father's Day.